I am Neo. Welcome into the Skeptic Arena. Today is June 30th, 2012. The website is theskepticarena.com. Today's topic, Rebecca Kiesling's story. It begins. I was adopted nearly from birth. At 18, I learned that I was conceived out of a brutal rape at knife point by a serial rapist. Like most people, I had never considered that abortion applied to my life. But once I received this information, all of a sudden I realized that not only does it apply to my life, but it has to do with my very existence. It was as if I could hear the echoes of all those people who, with the most sympathetic of tones, would say, "Well, except in cases of rape," or who would rather fervently exclaim in disgust, "Especially in cases of rape." All these people are out there who don't even know me, but are standing in judgment of my life. Rebecca, everyone judges everyone else's life. That's called thinking. There isn't a human on earth who doesn't engage in judging. There is nothing wrong with judging. The only complaint comes when that judgment is negative. Positive judgments, meaning compliments, are always welcome. Negative judgments, which are criticisms, are not. Rebecca said, "So quick to dismiss my life just because of how I was conceived." Rebecca, see what I mean? You are not criticizing those who approve of you, but only those who dismiss you. It's not judging you dislike, it's criticism. She said, "I felt like I was now going to have to justify my own existence." Rebecca, whose fault is that? What makes you think you have to justify anything to strangers or anyone else who sticks their nose into your personal business? She said that I would have to prove myself to the world that I shouldn't have been aborted and that I was worthy of living. Rebecca, for an attorney, your mind seems remarkably disorganized. No one has to prove their right to exist to the rest of the world. Where are you getting this crap? It's obvious from your statements that the problem lies within your own mind. You imagine that people are thinking you shouldn't be here. Rebecca said, "I also remember feeling like garbage because of people who would say that my life was like garbage, that I was disposable." Rebecca, anyone who would say that to you is only describing themselves. Being garbage has nothing to do with things over which you had no control, such as your birth, but everything to do with how you treat others. Rebecca continues, "Please understand that whenever you identify yourself as being pro-choice, or whenever you make that exception for rape, what that really translates into is you being able to stand before me, look me in the eye, and say to me, 'I think your mother should have been able to abort you.'" Rebecca, when someone takes other people's words and translates them, it's always for one purpose only, to misrepresent their position. You are trying to demonize those with whom you disagree. However, your attempt failed because our society has legalized a woman's right to abort her fetus. Therefore, it is true that your mother should have been able to abort you. Our society has decided that the choice belongs to her. Rebecca said, "That's a pretty powerful statement." Rebecca, it's also a pretty powerful law. Unfortunately, there are many Americans who do not feel obligated to respect our laws. These are usually the ones who wave the flag in one hand and a Bible in the other, all the while doing everything within their power to undermine our laws by planting bombs and shooting to death doctors who are now afraid to perform legal operations for fear of Christian terrorism. She said, "I would never say anything like that to someone. I would say never to someone." I think she meant to say, I would never say to someone, if I had my way, you'd be dead right now. Rebecca, the bizarre connection you just tried to make between a dead adult and an aborted fetus defies logic. Are you really a lawyer? She said, but that is the reality with which I live. Rebecca, as a devout Christian, you worship invisible ghosts. Reality is not something on which you have a firm grasp. She said, I challenge anyone to describe for me how it's not. It's not like people say, oh well, I'm pro-choice except for that little window of opportunity in 1968 or 1969 so that you, Rebecca, could have been born. No, this is the ruthless reality of that position, and I can tell you that it hurts and it's mean. No, Rebecca, no one is saying that. People who are pro-choice do not believe that you, out of all the millions of aborted fetuses, should have been saved. So it isn't mean because you are just imagining that someone would say that. And if it hurts, then you should get control of your imagination because no one is saying that. Rebecca continues, but I know that most people don't put a face to this issue. For them, it's just a concept, a quick cliche, and they sweep it under the rug and forget about it. Rebecca, that's probably because forgetting about terrible things like aborting a fetus is best handled by forgetting about it and getting on with one's life. Hopefully, they will take better precautions in the future and avoid getting into that situation. But since ghost worshippers are against condoms, it is more likely that they will continue to repeat past mistakes. She said, I do hope that, as a child of rape, I can help to put a face, a voice, and a story to this issue. Rebecca, you are exploiting your tragic experience in order to try to force your religious beliefs upon others. She said, I've often experienced those who would confront me and try to dismiss me with quick quips like, oh well, you were lucky. Be sure that my survival has nothing to do with luck. Rebecca, the survival of all life on Earth has a tremendous amount to do with luck. That is simply a fact of life that affects everyone. She said, the fact that I'm alive today has to do with choices that were made by our society at large. Wrong, Rebecca. The fact that you are alive today was due to the choice made by your mother. Had she chosen to abort you, you wouldn't be here. She said people who fought to ensure abortion was illegal in Michigan at the time, even in cases of rape, people who argued to protect my life, and people who voted pro-life. Rebecca, had your mother wanted an abortion and it was illegal in Michigan at the time, she simply could have gone elsewhere. Those who argued to your mother to give you life may have influenced her, but the final decision was still hers. And voters had nothing to do with her decision. So your statement was wrong on all accounts. Rebecca said, I wasn't lucky, I was protected. And would you really rationalize that our brothers and sisters who are being aborted every day are just somehow unlucky? Rebecca, they aren't your brothers and sisters. They are collections of cells that, if lucky, might someday survive to experience birth. And yes, those that are aborted could be considered unlucky. Rebecca said, although my birth mother was thrilled to meet me, she did tell me that she actually went to two back alley abortionists and I was almost aborted. See, Rebecca, I was right. The illegality of abortion in Michigan did not prohibit your mother from trying to abort you. And the people who argued to let you live failed to stop her. Twice. Rebecca said, after the rape, the police referred her to a counselor who basically told her that abortion was the thing to do. Rebecca, if you think rape pregnancy should be carried to term, that's your business, but you have no right to try to force your values on others. But without being able to force your morals on everyone else, what's the point in being a Christian? Rebecca said, her mother told her there were no crisis pregnancy centers back then. but my birth mother assured me that if there had been, she would have gone, if at least for a little more guidance. Rebecca, that's called progress. Society is constantly striving to address issues and solve problems. Now these services are available, but if you had your way, they wouldn't be. All women would be forced to carry rape babies to term. She said the rape counselor is the one who set her up with the back alley abortionist. Rebecca, legalizing abortion made it safer for women who now no longer have to turn to back alley abortions. Now counselors can refer women to clinics with professional medical personnel. Unfortunately, you people have intimidated, threatened, and murdered those who were acting legally, so that abortion, while legal, might as well not be. Yes, Rebecca, you violent fundamentalist Christians, or as you are more commonly referred to now, the American Taliban, continue to terrorize law-abiding citizens in order to assert your control over every aspect of our lives. Rebecca said, for the first abortion, she said it was the typical back alley conditions that you hear about as to why she should have been able to safely and legally abort me. Blood and dirt all over the table and floor. Those back alley conditions and the fact that it was illegal caused her mother to back out, as with most women. Well, congratulations, Rebecca. Your work is helping to bring back those horrible conditions. Rebecca continues. Then my mother got hooked up with a more expensive abortionist. This time she was to meet someone at night by the Detroit Institute of Arts. Someone would approach her, say her name, blindfold her, put her in the back seat of a car, take her, and then abort me. Then blindfold her again and drop her back off. And do you know what I think is so pathetic? It's that I know there are an awful lot of people out there who would hear me describe those conditions, and their response would just be pitiful shake of the head in disgust and say, it's just so awful that your birth mother should have had to have gone through that in order to have been able to abort you. Like, that's compassionate? I fully realize that they are being compassionate, but that's pretty cold-hearted from where I stand, don't you think? No, Rebecca, because you are looking at it from the perspective of a living, breathing person, while in reality, a place you don't seem to have located, they were looking at it from the perspective of the pregnant mother. Think about the horror you've just described. That is what you are bringing back to countless unfortunate women. Rebecca said, that is my life that they are so callously talking about, and there is nothing compassionate about that position. Rebecca, they are not talking about your life. They are talking about a fetus that does not yet have a life. She said, my birth mother is okay. Her life went on, and in fact, she's doing great. Rebecca, now who's being cold-hearted and mean? Your mother was violently raped, went to two back alley abortionists, forced to give up her child, and all you can do is to trivialize her experience with a flippant comment about her being okay, her life went on, and she's doing great. Next time you want to call someone heartless and self-centered, try looking in the mirror first. After reading what you just wrote about your own mother, it makes me think that giving you up for adoption was the best move she ever made. How can you dismiss her horrible experience in such an insouciant manner? Rebecca said, but I would have been killed. My life would have been ended. Rebecca, your invisible ghost murders about 50 million of these fetuses every year. Yet you worship this evil beast. You can't explain that, but like all ghost worshippers, you will rationalize it. She said, I may not look the same as I did when I was 4 years old, or 4 days old, yet unborn in my mother's womb, but that was still undeniably me, and I would have been killed through a brutal abortion. Rebecca, that is true of every aborted fetus. They were undeniably themselves. She said, according to the research of Dr. David Reardon, most women who become pregnant out of sexual assault do not want an abortion, and are, in fact, worse off after an abortion. Rebecca, those women who do not want an abortion are not forced to get one. No one is trying to force their morals on those women. It is you who are trying to force your morals on those who do want abortions. And you will have to be more specific as to being worse off. If they got the abortion they wanted, they were better off concerning the pregnancy. In what way are you claiming they were worse off? Rebecca continues, so most people's position on abortion in cases of rape is based upon faulty premises. One, the rape victim would want an abortion. Rebecca, I just explained that abortion is not forced upon women who do not want it. You are trying to prevent those who do want it from getting one. So that premise wasn't faulty. Maybe the false premise is in your next one. Premise two, she'd be better off with an abortion. Rebecca, whether or not the woman would be better off with an abortion is a decision that she should make, not you. That makes two claims of a false premise that have fallen flat. You get one more shot at it. Now for Rebecca's third premise, that child's life just isn't worth having to put her through the pregnancy. Well, Rebecca, no one is claiming that the fetus's life isn't worth having. The claim is that the fetus's life must be weighed against the desires of the mother. The mother isn't a potential life. She has a real life that is happening now. So there were no faulty premises, only premises that disagreed with your premise, that you can impose your beliefs upon others. Rebecca said, I hope that my story and the other stories posted on this site will be able to help dispel that last myth. Rebecca, that's pretty doubtful since your last myth was a straw man argument that no one is making. Rebecca said, I wish I could say that my birth mother was the majority of victims and that she didn't want to abort me, but she had been convinced otherwise. So, Rebecca, is that why you made it clear earlier that your mother's life's tragedies mean nothing because now she is doing so great? You're angry because she tried to abort you? Rebecca said, I'm so thankful my life was spared, but a lot of well-meaning Christians would say things to me like, well, you see, God really meant for you to be here. Or others may say, you were meant to be here, but I know that God intends for every unborn child to be given the same opportunity to be born. Rebecca, have you ever actually read a Bible? Here, try this verse from Hosea 13:16. Samaria shall become desolate, for she hath rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child shall be ripped up. That kind of kills your claim that God wants every unborn child to be given the opportunity to be born, doesn't it? Rebecca said, do you claim to care about women but couldn't care less about me because I stand as a reminder of something you'd rather not face and that you'd hate for others to consider either? Do I not fit your agenda? Rebecca, I do care about you, but not in the way you might think. I care about the damage you are doing to the progress that our country has made in the area of women's rights. Religion has always been women's greatest enemy, whether in the Quran or the Bible. Women rank somewhere between livestock and furniture. Modern humans are discarding the horrible morals of the Bible and replacing them with laws designed to treat everyone equally. Rebecca said, in law school, I'd also have classmates say things to me like, oh well, if you'd been aborted, you wouldn't be here today, and you wouldn't know the difference anyway, so what does it matter? Rebecca, why is it that everywhere you go, people are talking to you about being a child of rape? Do you tell everyone you meet your whole life story? Because that's what it sounds like. She said, believe it or not, some of the top pro-abortion philosophers use that same kind of argument. The fetus never knows what hits him, so there's no such fetus to miss his life. Rebecca, That's why they are philosophers and you are just an ambulance chaser. She said, so I guess as long as you stab someone in the back while he's sleeping, then it's okay, because he doesn't know what hits him. Rebecca, what's really sad is that someone like you, completely devoid of logical thinking skills, could be working as a lawyer. Your analogy is false. Killing a human is not analogous to killing a clump of cells that may, if your God doesn't kill them first, become a human. She said, I'd explain to my classmates how their same logic would justify me killing you today because you wouldn't be here tomorrow and you wouldn't know the difference anyway. So what does it matter? Rebecca, then your classmates were aware that you've completely burned out your logic circuit. One difference is that what you propose, murder, is illegal, whereas what you are arguing against, abortion, is not. She said, and they just stand there with their jaws dropped. Rebecca, I'm sure you thought you dazzled them with your brilliance, but the more likely reason that their jaws dropped was that they too, like me, wondered how anyone as illogical as you could have been accepted to law school. She said, it's amazing what a little logic can do. Rebecca, that's something you will never experience. Rebecca said, when you really think this thing through, like we were supposed to be doing in law school, and consider what we're really talking about, there are lives who are not here today because they were aborted. Rebecca, you could make that same argument about masturbation. Oh, that's right. You people are against that too, aren't you? She said, it's like the old saying, if a tree falls in the forest and no one is around to hear it, does it make a noise? Well, yeah. And if a baby is aborted and no one else is around to know about it, does it matter? The answer is yes. Rebecca, some advice. Lose the analogies. They are so far off base that they are not helping your argument as much as you seem to think they are. Rebecca said, their lives matter. My life matters. Your life matters, and don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Rebecca, they don't have lives. That's the difference. If allowed to live and God doesn't abort them through miscarriage, they may someday live to experience life. But at that point, the only things they have experienced are a soggy environment and the joy of having temporarily grown a tail. She said, the world is a different place because it was illegal for my birth mother to abort me back then. Rebecca, can't you even recall what you wrote only a few paragraphs ago? It didn't matter that abortion was illegal. Your mom tried to dump your ass twice. Illegality had nothing to do with it. Rebecca continues, your life is different because she could not legally abort me because you are sitting here reading my words today. But you don't have to have an impact on audiences for your life to matter. There is something we are all missing here today because of the generations now who have been aborted, and it matters. Yeah, Rebecca, overpopulation. She said, one of the greatest things I've learned is that the rapist is not my creator, as some people would have me believe. Rebecca, now you are just in denial. As much as you might hate to admit it, that rapist provided half your DNA, so he is as much your creator as is your mother. You remember her, don't you, Rebecca? The woman whose brutal rape doesn't matter anymore because now she is fine and doing great. Rebecca said, my value and identity are not established as a product of rape, but as a child of God. Rebecca, your value and identity should be based on what you accomplish, not belief in invisible imaginary friends. She said, I know that there is no stigma in being adopted. We are told in the New Testament that it is the spirit of adoption that we are called to be God's children through Christ our Lord. Rebecca, how come after 2,000 years, God has only adopted one-third of humanity. And why does he plan to burn forever those he didn't adopt? She said, "Most importantly, I've learned, I'll be able to teach my children, and I teach others, that your value is not based on the circumstances of your conception." Rebecca, most of us already knew that. Rebecca continues, "Your parents, your siblings, your mate, your house, your clothes, your looks, your IQ, your grades, your scores, your money, your occupation, your successes or failures, or your abilities or disabilities, these are the lies that are perpetuated in our society." Rebecca, "There is no institution in history that has been as successful as religion at spreading lies that are perpetuated in society." She said, "In fact, most motivational speakers tell their audiences that if they could just make something of themselves and meet this certain societal standard, then they too could be somebody. But the fact is that no one could ever meet all of these ridiculous standards, and many people will fall incredibly short, and so, does that mean that they are not somebody or that they're nobody? The truth is that you don't have to prove your worth to anyone." Rebecca, "Isn't that what I said earlier?" Rebecca continues, "And if you really want to know what your value is, all you have to do is look to the cross." Rebecca, "That means that two-thirds of the world's population has no value. Only Christians have value. And after everything you said about people having value, you contradict yourself with one little phrase, but a phrase that revealed your true feelings. You have just exposed everything you wrote before this as a lie." And Rebecca concludes, "God thinks you are pretty valuable, and so do I." Rebecca, "Why don't you dust off that old Bible that you apparently never read and learn about what God did to the millions of people whom he didn't find particularly valuable?" And now we move to the science segment. Today's topic, Earth-like planet detected. The planet lies in what they describe as a habitable zone, neither too near its sun nor too far away. And the discovery could help us answer the question of whether we are alone in the universe, which has plagued astronomers and alien fanatics for years. Scientists found the planet Gliese 667 cc orbiting around a red dwarf star, 22 light years away from the Earth. Red dwarf stars are the most common stars in the neighborhood of the sun, usually hosting planets called gas giants, which are not composed of rock matter. Reanalyzing data, the astronomers found Gliese 667 cc is a solid planet with roughly 4.5 times the mass of Earth. Scientists have calculated that the planet receives 10% less light from its red dwarf star than the Earth gets from the sun. As the light is in the infrared, the planet still receives nearly the same amount of energy as the Earth, meaning water could be liquid and surface temperatures could be similar to ours. Since the discovery of the first extrasolar planet in 1995, astronomers have confirmed the existence of more than 760 planets beyond the solar system, with only 4 believed to be in a habitable zone. One of the most successful tools of planet hunters is the high-accuracy Radial Planetary Searcher Telescope, which measures the radial velocity of a star. Scientists using this telescope analyze the small wobbles in a star's motion caused by the gravitational pull of a planet, determining the position and size of a planet indirectly. Currently, they can detect planets which are 3 to 5 times the mass of the Earth. And now for the final segment of the show, famous quotes. Today, Epicurus, born 341 BCE, died 270 BCE at the age of 71. I will skip the bio as it has been previously given. So here is the quote from Epicurus. Why should I fear death? If I am, death is not. If death is, I am not. Why should I fear that which can only exist when I do not?
Are you ready, Goose?